It is Thursday the 8th of March, and this is episode 110 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along to another episode. I am Chris, and we've got the full complement. Henry's here.
Yay!
And Ian's here.
Boo!
It's almost like there's been an Apple announcement or something going on.
It's almost like a pantomime with that kind of carry on, but carry
on. Behind you.
And yes, I have just swallowed a fly, which has been to everyone's amusement. We didn't get it on tape, but never mind. I am just about recovered, everyone. Let's get on with the news. Apple keynote, obviously our big news story, happened yesterday, and we announced. Sorry, we've lost Ian. he's cracking up. Right, they've announced a couple of new products. So we've got Apple TV, and we've got the new iPad. Much anticipated and much presumed, and we pretty much got what most of the rumors sort of talked about, really. So who wants to talk about iPad?
Me.
have you ordered one then, Ian?
Yes.
And what time did you order that?
So I need to explain.
I already know what time you ordered that.
Well, you don't. So after the I came home last night. It had pretty much been finished by the time I got in. I sat pressing refresh and refresh and refresh and refresh. And about 11 o'clock, I thought, this store's not coming up. So I went to bed. And I woke up at 3 in the morning. Not deliberately, I just woke up.
Couldn't sleep from the excitement.
Too excited.
Well, I did wake up and visit the toilet. So and on the way back from said toilet, I thought...
Did you wash your hands? Actually, don't answer that.
I always wash my hands. Come on. No drip drying here. I wash my hands.
I asked. Too much information. DMI.
And on the way back, fired up the iMac. Store was up. Ordered my iPad.
Yeah, as you do at 3 o'clock in the morning or on your way back from the loo, just fire up the iMac.
Was it zippy then, the website?
It was absolutely flying, surprisingly enough.
I think reports from other podcasts are that everyone, the store just crippled itself. And which is unusual for Apple. They're normally able to cope.
And I just wonder if that's just the true demand of this thing.
I think it probably is. I mean, it's pretty much the same form factor. It's very, very slightly deeper and very, very slightly heavier. But they've got a Retina display on it, which if you'd spoken to commentators before, they said that's what people want, yet they didn't believe it was either possible within the cost or within the battery kind of performance. But they've done it. They've put a Retina display on it, which is incredible. I think it's the same kind of resolution as the 27-inch iMac.
It's greater, actually. A 27-inch iMac can't display a one-to-one portrait, display of the new iPad, which is absolutely incredible.
I mean, that is balmy, and say in a form factor the same size. And they have confirmed that the battery life hasn't suffered. I mean, obviously that's yet to be confirmed in the wild, but they haven't actually let us down on battery life.
Just on the number of pixels, it's 2048 by 1536,
which is
more
massive.
Pixels, more pixels in a 9.7-inch screen than there is on my 27-inch iMac.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's more in the demo they had the old here's a 50-inch 1080p screen. And here's the iPad, and the pixels are it was like, was it 20 or 30% more?
It is absolutely phenomenal. And it is going to make a massive difference to the usability. Not the usability, but the
no, it's nothing about usability. Yeah, it's about, I mean, the thing is, it's one of those things that wears off. You kind of get used to those kind of things. But when you first see it, I'm sure it'll be pretty stunning.
It wears off, but if I think back to 3GS or 3G to the iPhone 4, that was the thing that I noticed the most. It wasn't speed, it was that display. And I think that will stick with us for a long time. And I think it'll be hard to go back to anything else. I still look at phones today, and some of the displays are great. The colours pop more than the iPhones, but you can still see some pixels. And I look at a lot of the, you know, I use the iPhone 4 and it's lovely.
Yeah, it's that not looking at a screen, although you're looking at a screen, which is just, it just changes things really. Very, very nice. And I'm kind of surprised because I'm wondering about the performance of this, really. I mean, you've got so many more pixels now to be driving, and some of the apps and things now are quite intensive on processor and stuff. And although the processor is beefed up a bit, it's not massively so. So I'll be interested to see in terms of performance when people start really running these things to see if they've managed to keep that really, or if that will suffer a wee bit.
And they seem to emphasise it was quad core graphics, and the processor is much the same. You know, so I've been interested, and hopefully it is, because that's the whole point. And I mean, just one quote I saw today was from Ryan Block, and it's his first impression. It's the best display I've ever seen anywhere. Period. It makes a meaningful difference to the experience. It's not just a spec. Because I think a lot of people are just going, "Well, it's an HD screen." And it's not just, well, it's an HD screen. It is the you know, it is potentially the best screen that you've seen yet.
They've also added their iPhone camera. So we've got 5-megapixel camera with their latest optics. they've advertised voice dictation, but Siri was conspicuous by its absence yesterday, so we don't know why.
Still seems a bit strange.
There's something going on there, and the most, I guess for me, the most amazing thing is that they've just kept the price the same. This is a lot more technology and newer technology, and I know you know, economies and scale and all that, but nevertheless they've kept the price the same. I guess because they know at the end of the day they're going to earn their money through apps as much as anything.
But also Apple don't sell anything, you know, for a loss.
No. So they'll still be making money on this. There'll be questions on how they've managed to do that, obviously, especially with all the recent news stories about the conditions abroad and stuff.
And I guess the only other thing that kind of stood out as being different was the 4G, so the LTE support.
But for us at the moment in this country, that's all a bit meh. I'm sure it's extremely exciting for people in America, but maybe
by 2014 we'll be getting excited about 4G.
Yeah, maybe. So that's just cost that we don't actually need.
No, and I've added in, I mean, there's Everything Everywhere 3 and O2 are wanting to roll out HSPA Plus nationwide by Q3 this year, which this does support and should take us to 21 meg, which I'll believe when I see it.
Yeah, and it's by no means certain. They've still got to go through all the regulatory bodies to do that.
Yes. Well, I think three have started in Glasgow. So there is a rollout started in Glasgow of HSPA Plus. Roll trips off the tongue.
Yeah. Oh, excitement. Tangent here. At my local area, it's been accepted as the next area to have high-speed fibre network rolled out. Actually, that's not true. I mean, by 2014, I'm going to have it. A little way off.
So by the time I'm at 200 meg, you're going to get 20. Is that what you're telling me?
Basically. That'd
be great for the 200th episode of Digital Outbox, wouldn't it? Chris, exactly. Chris finally gets some high speed.
We should
broadband.
Make a bet. Will we ever get to 200 episodes? And will Chris have faster broadband?
Another thing that kind of this one crept me by, but they've switched to OpenStreetMaps. Rather than Google Maps, is that?
Yeah,
is
it's that, very interesting, yeah. That, isn't it?
So we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, Ian. Would they do that?
Yeah, we had two. I guess we've had two sessions in a row talking about it. We'd talked about OpenStreetMaps, and then last week we'd mentioned Foursquare had swapped over, and we'd previously mentioned how that they're starting to charge, and Steve Jobs in the autobiography talked about how he was going to go thermonuclear war on Google. And people were talking about, you know, will it be, you know, switching away from Google search to Bing, or just making it optional or defaulting to Bing and letting you swap to Google? Because a lot of people wouldn't swap. And one of the things that they do use a lot of is Google Maps. And it's not an iOS that has changed. It's only in iPhoto for iOS. So iPhoto was one of the new bits of software they announced yesterday. And it is a lovely, lovely app. And I can't run it on my iPad 1. So it only works on iPad 2 or the new iPad. And we need to mention that name before we move on, but it does work on the iPhone, and it's actually a really nice application. But the maps, it does jump out as like, ooh, they're a bit jangly. They're not as nice as Google Maps.
This is one way that will accelerate the development of OpenStreetMap, because absolutely. You whack it on a device and such all-pervasive thing, then suddenly it would kick itself in, I think.
But the way it was being confirmed is yesterday lots of people were saying, oh, this looks like Apple using their own maps. This definitely isn't a Google Map tile. And then somebody traced that they were hosting it from their own server. So it was some like Apple, you know, it was something like maps.apple.com it was getting hosted out of or something like that. And it was only tonight that the OpenStreetMaps blog actually said, welcome Apple. And it says the OSM data that Apple is using. So they're saying that's great that Apple are using it, but it's rather old. So some of the map tiles are from April 2010. And also that the necessary credit to OpenStreetMaps contributors isn't there. So they're hoping to work, looking forward to working with Apple on that.
Yes, exactly.
So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
And yes, as you mentioned, it's now just being called the iPad rather than giving it incremental numbers, which is kind of in line with the fact that, you know, when you buy an iMac, you just buy an iMac. When you buy an, you know,
I wish we'd been that kind of sensible when we're talking about names before.
Yeah, definitely,
because it makes total sense.
It does.
We've got so far,
but it's not the same, and the phone's still incremental though. That's the thing. So
I think this year we'll see the iPhone.
Yeah, but then how do you tell everyone that you've got the latest one?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, how did you tell people before? I mean, it's always been a nightmare. I've got an iPod. Well, which iPod have you got? Well,
fifth gen, fourth gen, third gen.
And what was that? Oh, they were manufactured in, you know, 2005 and between, you know, it's like, oh, for goodness sake.
Where I thought they would suffer with the 4S was it didn't look different. So many people I knew said, well, I was really looking forward to getting the new iPhone, but it looks the same. Because they wanted something to differentiate their new phone from their friends and colleagues and family's old phone. And I thought, oh, I wonder if Apple are going to get stung here. And then the sales come out and they've blown everybody out of the water and it's the best-selling phone ever. So in some ways, I think they've proven the design being the same doesn't matter. And I think the name will just swap to be an iPhone. The same way as you've got Apple TVs, you've got a Mac Mini, you've got a MacBook Air.
Yes, but of course, this is a resolutionary iPad.
Do you know what annoyed me? Now that you've said that,
I'm quoting the Apple Apple website. It's not,
and it's a horrible,
it's a terrible thing that I would kind of come up with, but I can't take the credit. I'm disappointed.
But what hacked me off is all these people now saying, "Oh, Steve Jobs wouldn't have done this. Steve Jobs wouldn't have done that. Apple are going down a path." So Jolie O'Dell put a post out yesterday, you know, saying the terrible pun. Steve Jobs would never have done that. What about the funnest iPod? Or the, you know, when they launched the iPod Touch,
and it's
that was Steve Jobs. He signed that off. That was awful.
It's all rubbish anyway. We've talked about this before, but
rubbish.
Timmy boy, he's been running that company for a while now.
Absolutely.
And I think there's probably definitely as much of him in
his
their actions and activity.
You're right. It's his fault.
So that's just people looking for holes where there's no holes.
He's a pun meister.
Yeah, he's always cooking something up.
Oh, we're on fire.
I wish I was on fire. I'd be able to get out. Right, Google Play. This is completely snuck up on me. I haven't heard anything about this. Oh, go on.
Is it any, now that you know it's out there, I'd asked you a couple of weeks ago, are you tempted? And it was like, no. Any temptation now?
No, if I had all the spare cash in the world, of course I would, but not really. I'd love to see the screen, so I'm looking forward to seeing one day. But there's just no need for me to get it.
I know you might just see Henry, yeah?
Yeah, not this year. I mean, I was really hoping that they would do a Retina display last year for the iPad 2, because that's when I was going to get one. But no, I'm not. I'm still happy with my iPad 2 at the moment.
This is a far more interesting proposition though than 4 to 4S for me.
Definitely.
Conceptually, I think there's, you know, it looks the same.
I think it's a big,
there's enough hardware in there that there's a jump that
it's
a big, feel like it's different.
I think this is a step change. This isn't just a small bump.
Yeah. One thing I thought it was interesting, they played very down on the fact this is even heavier. They didn't kind of come out and say, yeah, and we're also increasing the
bizarrely,
strength of the nation.
Bizarrely, I'm looking forward to a lighter iPad because it's far lighter than the iPad 1 that I've got.
Is it?
Is that right?
Yeah. So it's only,
I hadn't thought about that. Okay.
Is it not just like a quarter of a pound heavier? You know, so
I think it's more like just over half a pound.
So anyway, all I understood is it's slightly heavier, it's slightly thicker, and seemingly if you use your iPad 2 a lot, you notice it. But I'm going to be moving to a lighter, slimmer iPad.
What's your name? Yeah, Google Play then. So this has completely slipped me by. I don't really know anything about it, but it looks like it's some sort of huge app store that includes music and books as well.
That's about it. So they're okay. Basically a shuttered Android market, Google Music, ebook store, and it's replaced by Google Play. I guess this story broke at the start of the week, so I think it's next week they'll start rolling out updates.
Just to, US?
No, I think it was everywhere.
Well, because we haven't got Google Music yet and stuff like that, have we? So
okay, I understood it as it was everywhere, but it changes depending on the country you're in. So in America, you'll get Google Play, and it'll have Google Music, and it'll have films, and it'll have the Android market or the apps. And in the UK, you'll get, I guess, just the bookstore, and you'll get apps. So it changes depending on location. But the bit that's maybe hidden is it's not just a unified shopping experience. It's actually 20 gig of storage space.
So you can store your own music up there. And they're saying you can sync as well, as in, so if you're... sync your playlists and sync if you're watching a video, for example, you can pick it up on any device that you're watching on. So yes, bit of iCloud going on.
So it sounded a bit like iTunes/iCloud.
Yeah, and that kind of integrated system is what they're kind of missing, isn't it? So sounds like a step in the right direction.
So if you're on Android 2.2 or higher, the updates start over the next week.
Okay. Raspberry Pi, our bit of geeky fun here. So they're shipping them out, which is very exciting.
They're only
shipping the circuit board version, right?
They are, and a bit of some great stats there that they were selling 700 a second when they
launched. Definitely getting one. I have no idea why or where I'm going to use it or what I'm going to do with it, but I'm definitely getting one.
Have you ordered one?
No. I'm waiting for the cover.
All right, I see. I've got mine ordered, and I got a dodgy email back. My order was accepted, and they said they were going to ship it out in about 30 days, and then I got another email saying it's going to be like sometime in May or something.
I'm sure they've been blown away. I mean, you can't deal with 700 a second, basically.
It was just incredible. But apparently that may have been a mistake. So mine may be coming
They're probably running their ordering system on their Raspberry Pis.
well, that's maybe true. They have had a bit of an issue with the network connector on the Ethernet port on the board. Not being the right one, they put the wrong bit on it.
Whoops.
So they've been put back about a week while they replace all
unsolder
those
and solder again.
All solder and solder all of those. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. You know, we're talking about this, but actually, you know, there are competitors now lining up. I saw one this week for a 1.5 gigahertz processor, gigabyte RAM, and they're hoping to get enough people signed up so that they can do it for $7. So you know, these,
to be
these
honest though, I think this initiative needs it to be centralized, and so that all the kind of crowd power goes into one device. I think having it split across lots, you're just going to end up in the same PC situation. You're not going to benefit from it.
No.
Having everyone develop little things for the Raspberry Pi sounds like a much better idea than developing it when it might not be compatible with one of these other $7 devices.
Yeah, and we should say that really what they've done here is they've the Raspberry Pi Foundation they've now said that they're not going to actually manufacture the boards anymore. They've sent that out to RS Components and Farnell, UK electronics companies, who are going to build that for them, and they're going to get some licensing revenue from every board that's built, which is great, and it allows them to really concentrate on what they really want to do, which is developing the educational elements and building a community for the for enthusiasts and for schools and anybody that wants to run them. So fair play to them. I think it's a great thing.
an important. I mean, I'm sure when the excitement wears off, we're all going to just realize, hey, it's just a little underpowered computer. But I mean, it is exciting, and they outside of our US and UK, the a Middle East country is apparently very interested and wants to give one to every girl in their country. So there's important movements going on. And it's just sparked off by this little device. It's pretty amazing.
It's absolutely fantastic. And I think particularly, you know, there's kids saying, you know, what, you know, £20, £30, you know, that's within the realms of being able to be saved up for, but with pocket money. And they don't have to worry about breaking the family computer. This is a really fantastic idea. So really, I'm really pleased that it's been so successful for them. And I hope it runs and runs.
Indeed. Right. Digital Economy Act, which hasn't been talked about for a while, but it's back in the news because of TalkTalk and BT have lost their challenge against the Economy Act. So they basically wanted to appeal against the judicial review that says that they have to do this, that and the other to stop pirates, and they have to put up the cost. And the judge pretty much said, no, you've got to do these things. The only concession they made was they said that they wouldn't have to put up all the costs for...
So basically, the only point they went on was that originally ISPs were going to be liable for all costs. So that's like operating fees and, you know, the cost trying to identify subscribers. And the judge have said, well, you pay 25% and the rights holders, I guess is the best way of putting it, have to pay the other 75% of the costs.
So they have to be, which sounds like a sensible concession in that it means that the onus is on the rights holders to be able to prove that. But just to kick Big BT and TalkTalk in the face just at the end, they also said they had to pay for most of the costs of the their legal challenge.
Which probably right, because they wanted to make the legal challenge. So,
yeah. It's just, it's probably a lot of money.
Yeah, it's running into six figures. It's a real kick in the teeth, though, isn't it? It's
You must pay to find pirates, and now you must also pay to say that you have to find pirates.
It'll be very interesting what they define as pirates, because I think the only people that are laughing out of this are probably the post office and the amount of extra letters they'll now be carrying across the country, because there are so many people that you can define as a pirate.
Indeedy. Lulzek leader. He was working for the FBI.
Hey! Right back at you.
Who wants this?
What do you mean, who wants this?
I don't want it.
You just don't like these names. Hector Xavier Monsegur, also known as Sabu.
Yeah, that's easier, isn't it?
Sabu is so much more. So seemingly he was secretly tried back in last year, back in August, and he was convicted. But the FBI managed to turn him. So he then kind of, even after it was tried, then continued working with Lulzek, and then eventually grassed them all up, and they were all arrested this week.
And now Lulzek, are they separate from Anonymous? I've lost
track
of all these things.
They were formed out of Anonymous. So seemingly a lot of people in Anonymous are also worried that so many people, I guess they know each other.
Yeah, they're not Anonymous anymore.
Exactly. And this also includes, I mean, there's a few people in the UK who are arrested, and there's a chap up in Shetland, of all places.
Well, I mean, you know, all you need is an internet connection. That's probably a reasonable thing. There's not a lot else to do in Shetland, is there?
Oh, well, there's sheep.
and fish.
Sheep, fish, and hacking.
Hacking and sheep.
It's a great combination.
Yeah.
For a relatively small group of people, they have attracted quite a lot of attention, it has to be said. Deliberately so, and probably to their absolute detriment there. I am sure that... I mean, the thing is, I think Anonymous as a brand, if you like, is going to live on now. It's strong enough that anyone can work under its banner.
And just about anyone does, don't they? I mean, not everyone, but lots and lots of people do.
And yeah. I mean, they picked up the whole V for Vendetta branding as well. You know, so anywhere you kind of see that, you think instantly of them now.
Indeed. More woes for game.
Bless.
They're not gonna I know this is the death knells, isn't it? They're not gonna stop Capcom Street Fighter and Azura's Wrath although I didn't know that was coming out anyway. So basically...
Well, it's not more... in game, is it?
So effectively, more games that game ain't going to stock for whatever reason. So again, it's never a good sign when a shop stops selling.
But it's games that game aren't stocking that are out, like, you know, tomorrow. You know, and they only announced this on Monday. You know, yes. So it's all short notice things. I've taken lots of deposits for them. I just this is only going to go one way.
When you've got pre-orders that are guaranteed sales in effect, and you're not taking them, there's something serious happening.
It's really great.
It might be. I mean, they could be playing a blinder as far as they could be in a much stronger position, and they are using that strength to against the games companies. But you just get the impression that no,
it's not. It's not going to work that way, is it? I mean, if you could, I mean, there's so many places that you could pre-order from. You're not going to pre-order from game now, are you? Because you're not going to be sure whether you're actually going to get your game on the day of release, which is the whole point.
Well, no. So I had to redo my order with for Mass Effect with Amazon. It's arrived. It arrived this morning, so it was a day earlier than normally is. And you just thought, well, that's just money that game just not getting,
And it's going to be these big. It's going to be these big titles that will hurt. As Henry says, it just loses your reputation because you instantly. I mean, you think back to when you're in game season and you're getting all your big sort of 6-7 titles. If somebody gets a game late, you know, from Amazon or whatever, you think, well, I'm not going to order from them again, and you instantly move a light at allegiance. So straight away, I mean, the fact of not getting EA, I mean, come. I guess there's a little period now of big games, but see come, you know, July, August, when we kick into the game season again, and you've got your FIFAs coming out and all those, and whatever the big first party shooters are, and Halo 4, etc. People are not going to order it from game.
No. It's a bad situation.
I can see is, what I don't understand is, why aren't they turned around and said, here's all the branches that we're going to have to shut down to keep alive? And they seem to be doing
that's
nothing.
Surely, that's going to say... Yeah, I mean, if I was a shareholder in that, I don't know whether they actually even have shares, but if
4 pence.
If I was an investor, I would certainly be asking why they're not stocking games rather than shutting down shop, and that's whatever.
What a bunch of Tories we've turned into, honestly.
Aye, aye.
Have you still got game shares, Ian?
No. we did actually have. We ran a little share investment club at work, and we bought game shares, and we made loads of money off them.
See, I think I remembered that
because I recommended it to the group, and it was before there was a major. There was before the kind of cycle of consoles that came out, so it was all the kind of Xboxes and all that kind of stuff, and we made 3 or 4 times our money. It's great. Mm-hmm. That was back in the day when they were up at like £2 or something. They're now at four and a half pence.
Yeah. Super. This week we have seen the first preview of Halo 4. So Halo 4 will be the first post-Bungie Halo. And of course you've got everyone saying, well, they're just going to turn it into a big pile of rubbish. But pretty much, I mean, it looks like they're going to add in sort of Battlefield and sort of style progressions and stuff. So you can have unlocks on your weapons and things like that. My impression was, you've just got to let them get on with it. Really, they have to. They're not Bungie. They're not going to do the things the same way. You have to hope that they're not going to destroy it. But to just watch that preview and say that it's all gone bad is for me a bit over the top.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think they're going to turn it into a big pile of rubbish, to be honest.
They might do. Effectively with Bungie, we've been playing the same game now for. How many years? Is it 10 years?
Yeah, no, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, that's the mantra, wasn't it? Just make it bigger.
I don't have too many fears, to be honest. There's a fear because Bungie have got such a great track record and not many other companies do. So they've released game after game after game and small iterations, I guess a bit like Apple with their small iterations, have proven quite successful.
And also very good at the balancing acts that you have to have in games to make them worthwhile.
And you know as well as I do from Call of Duty and from Battlefield, walking in as a noob when people have been playing it for a couple of weeks can feel horrible when everybody's got tricked out weapons, got all the armor, and you're just getting pummeled game after game, and you just think, there's nothing in this for me. I'd rather go and play something I know, like Halo. And I guess that's what happens with us with the Call of Duty games. You know, if I think of some of Brian's comments about Call of Duty...
Not repeatable now, that's for sure.
Not at all. And I I've no real big issue about, you know, I mean, if you look at all the armor unlocks in Halo Reach, I would have loved it if it actually made a difference, you know, and you could actually pick different regions where you're maybe getting, you know, so protect the head rather than the body, and it would actually, you know, it would change things up a bit, you know, so instead of just, you know, somebody being accurate with headshots all the time, it's like, well, I've got a great big helmet on and your headshots aren't doing as much damage.
What about a smaller head?
Such so that a little kid.
That's right, I could have a pinhead.
If you had a pinhead, you would have a smaller target.
Anyway, so that's all to come.
I'm more interested. This came out of nowhere.
Yeah, where did this come from? Forza Horizon. So they're talking about a new Forza game in winter 2012.
This year.
Yeah. That's far too quick.
Yeah, but it's like Forza Outrun. So guys online and on Twitter, sorry, described it as Forza Outrun, and I think that's what it is. So it's a very arcadey Forza.
So it's using the model, maybe, and just using it to play around with it rather than always use it for this hardcore simulation mode. They're going to play with it, tweak it. Okay.
And
interesting.
And do you know what? Turn 10, you're a bunch of cocks.
Are they?
Yeah. Bloody Porsche pack coming out in May. So Forza came out without any Porsche cars because EA wouldn't release a license. Now we've done a great deal with them and we've put loads of effort into making all these new cars, and it's something like $20 they're looking for. And it's like, that's, and I know there's 30 cars. Where's the extra tracks?
The thing is, there's already
extra track?
Rough is already Porsche.
Yeah.
You know?
So we've got the good ones. I feel we've let off Forza. Forza 3 and Forza 4 came out and there's just not been that. I want like downloadables, I want extra maps, I don't just want cars, I want extra tracks to put on, something new and fresh, and we just don't get it.
No, but we have to remember that Forza was a massive game and it was good fun while we played it. We did just stop playing. Anyway, so that's the end of the news for this week. Pick wise, amazingly, I am the only one with a pick this week, which is just such a turnaround that I'm probably going to faint. But my pick this week is an app, a cross-device app called Draw Something by OMG Pop Games. And the best way of describing it is turn-based Pictionary between two people. It's looking very resigned on this one. But basically, you get, as a player, so you team up.
Never
with
have
a,
I heard
person.
Somebody dialing a pick as much as this. Go on.
So you pick a player random, or you can play with a friend. And you get displayed a list of three words, one easy, one medium, and one hard, and you get to choose which one you want to draw. And basically, you sit and you draw that word. And once you've finished, you say, "I've done it," and it goes over to your playing partner, and that playing partner then gets to watch a video of you, well, a recording of you drawing. So they see it back in real time, and they guess the word, and at that point, it gets handed back to you. And you get to see them watching your recording and then guessing as we go. And it sort of keeps going like that. So turn by turn, each of you draws and each of you watches and guesses. It's good fun. You can clearly cheat, and there are cheats out there, because you can literally just write the word on the screen and that would be it. I tend to try and avoid those people. But other than that, it's quite fun, because it's just fun watching what people actually use to describe the word. It's only 69p. It's on sale at the moment. I think it's due to go up a little bit, but only to the equivalent of the $2 app. I'm not sure what the UK equivalent of that is. Cross device, so you can play it anywhere. And I've had a lot of fun with it so far.
Downloading now.
There we go.
Downloading now on my Brit iPad.
Yeah, my iPad update didn't work. Did yours work? Mine?
No.
Mine just said there's been a technical error.
Oh, no, mine's didn't do that. Mine's got to the reboot screen after installing it and just sat with a bar that was permanently empty after an hour.
Right.
So I switched it off and on and it did nothing. So I thought, so I put it in DFU mode and got it up and running. And then I thought, I'll restore it. And I restored, and it says, cannot restore from backup.
So basically, it's duffed up.
Yeah. See if Steve Jobs was alive. That wouldn't have happened.
That wouldn't have happened.
That wouldn't have happened.
Anyway, that is the end of our podcast. So if you want to get in contact with us, you can. We're on email as info@digitaloutbox.com, Twitter, Digital Outbox, Skype, Digital Outbox. We've got a website, www.digitaloutbox.com. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK. Ian, where can we find you?
My blog is iand.net, where we're posting up my iPad rants. Ooh. Shortly. And on the Twitters, it's Sweeper.
And Henry.
I'm Talk Rhubarb on Twitter.
And that is it. That's the podcast. We will talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening. Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It is Thursday, the 8th of March. Let's start that again. Because that was rubbish.
Are we just keeping going?
Yeah, no. Keep going. Keep going.
All right, okay.
Yeah, it's the fly in your lung.
If we named our podcast, it would be the fly in the ointment kind of thing. The fly in the lung.
I know where you're going with that. It didn't come out very well, did it?
Like most of my...
like my intro.
Gaze by ever.
Bye. Tiralov.
How's that fly? Is it still there?
I think it did go into my lung, and I think I've tasted it again.